WBSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Good morning. Happy Thursday to you. Welcome into a new day here on the program. Another chilly day to start things off, but that's January for you. Although, I guess tomorrow will be a little bit warmer, as you just heard. But today is already starting off questionable because I came in, went to go make my coffee, and the Keurig had a message on it I'd never seen before. Overpressurization. Restart performance cycle. So, had to get that taken care of because both myself and Gazelle over at Fun 107, we need our coffee. I don't know if Michaela drinks coffee, but Michael Rock famously does not. So, I know Gazelle's like me, though. He's got to have his caffeine boost and his warm vocal lubrication in the morning. So we've got a great show planned for you today. We'll be joined later on this morning in the 8 o'clock hour by a man who you've probably seen spinning his giant upright bass. For many years, he is one of the founding members of the Grammy-nominated music group Stray Cats. You know their huge hits like Rock This Town, Stray Cat Strut, Sexy and 17. They brought the rockabilly sound into the 80s. Well, he is coming to the area. He'll be performing at the Music Room in West Yarmouth on Friday, January 17th. So a week from tomorrow. And the one and only Lee Rocker from the Stray Cats will join us this morning at 8:05. Just after the 8 o'clock news. So I love the Stray Cats. When I learned to play guitar, you know, Brian Setzer was somebody that I wanted to play guitar like. I don't think I could ever play the upright bass like Lee Rocker does. But we'll find out about that. We'll find out about his style and the music that he loves. And he comes from a musical family as well. So we'll get into all that with Lee Rocker coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. And what's interesting is the Stray Cats have a reunion tour coming, so we can find out more about that as well. So listening to yesterday's conversations and having conversations with the callers yesterday, it sounded like, I guess people are resigned to, and you really don't have a choice at this point anyway, but people are resigned to saying, well, let's give new city council president Shane Burgo a chance here. And certainly there's enough organizational stuff here at the beginning that will give us an idea of where he's going to be going with his council presidency. And as I said before, you know, he will join us on a regular basis. We're going to work that out. So we'll be able to keep abreast of his thought process behind some of those decisions and talk about the work of the 2025 council. But I'm also sensing a lot of frustration with people about the direction of the city overall. And I'm not talking about, you know, Mayor Mitchell and investments in offshore wind. I'm not talking about you know, some of the housing projects that have been coming up. I'm talking about people who are just concerned about the day-to-day life, the cost of living, the taxes that they're paying. And those are the concerns that's why we have the elected officials in here, to be able to address those on a regular basis. And to be able to address it from a variety of perspectives. So you had Mayor Mitchell here yesterday. I didn't get to listen to it, unfortunately. I was in a meeting. We're doing some training stuff, so I'm not near the radio as much as I want to be for the next couple of weeks. And so I got the sense, though, that Mayor Mitchell, at least in what I heard and in having conversations with him, he's pretty excited for this year and what this year will bring. That we are now, more or less 4 years removed from the pandemic. This point will mark 4 years since we've kind of come out of it. And I think now you're starting to see life get back into the regular swing of things. And while we're still behind the eight ball a little bit because of, how those couple of years went down, there's no reason to think that these larger scale visions for the future can't come sooner rather than later. And so I just wonder if the feelings of those people who are calling to complain about whether it be taxes or how they don't want to give up any more money for the Community Preservation Act, or how they're worried about what industries the city is focused on welcoming in and trying to attract. If 5 or 10 years down the line, if they're going to feel the same way. I see an optimism. I mean, and I'm not usually an optimistic person. I'm usually somewhat pessimistic. I try to be hopeful, but then I say, but reality will strike. But I think the area is on the verge of some really big things. And while I don't pay attention to every area of the state as much as I do what goes on here, I have a sense that the New Bedford area and the South Coast overall probably has the brightest future of most of the different areas of Massachusetts, with the potential for growth, the potential for change, and the opportunities that lay before it. Now, talk radio tends to naturally be pessimistic, because who are always the most vocal people in a group? The complainers, right? But I don't get the sense that the overall feeling is complaining. I think you've got a lot of people who are complacent. But I don't think you have a lot of people overall that are complaining. Well, there'll always be things that people are upset about? Sure, of course. But I think the overall approach of most of the people out there, and this is just, not indicative of the callers, but probably more indicative of the overall listening audience, is cautiously optimistic. Let's wait and see what happens. But I'm also not going to be surprised if, the other shoe drops in a situation. But I won't say on the brink of a new year, because we're in the new year, but here in the early stages of a new year, I try to be optimistic. I try to say, well, can't be as bad as last year. And then every year seems to be worse than the last. That when you look at things in totality, nothing's really worse than the next. There's always ups and downs with every year. I guess you could say 2020 was probably, you know, the worst. But I think there is some renewed optimism for what can go on here locally in this coming year and beyond. Nationally, I don't know. Nationally, I think you're getting a mixed bag of feelings. Certainly these California fires are not helping the year to start off on a positive note. Of course, we started the year off with two incidents of violence. But I think on the local level, we have a lot to be optimistic about. But it might take a little while for that optimism to take root. What do you think? 508-996-0500. We'll take your app chat messages and your open line voicemails as well on the WBSM app. A heads up, tomorrow we're going to have a special Seize the Deal going on sale at 9 a.m. You heard me talking a few weeks ago about the grand opening of Pokemoto, a new Hawaiian-themed restaurant in North Dartmouth. And tomorrow, one of the owners, Kyle, is going to be dropping by, bringing some food for everybody here. But also, we're going to be having a special Seize the Deal on sale for you. $20 in e-vouchers to Pokemoto for just 10 bucks. So what does an e-voucher mean? It means that unlike the other Seize the Deal certificates, when you buy these on Friday morning at 9 a.m. when they go on sale, you don't have to wait for Seize the Deal to mail them out to you, which they were relatively quick about. But now with the e-voucher, you get them instantly. So if you purchase them that day, you can go and use them that day. If you buy them at 9 a.m., you should have them in time to be able to go and get lunch there. And the e-voucher just requires you to use your smartphone when you go there to show them a QR code, and they'll scan that, and that's how it works. So you don't have to worry about remembering to bring a certificate with you. You don't have to worry about keeping it in the car to make sure that you have it when you get a chance to stop by, or whatever it is your technique is to not forget it. That's what I do. I just stick them in my car and say, all right, I'll eventually go there. And then, you know, 6 months after they expired, I pull them down from my visor and say, oh, I forgot I bought that. But when you go in with the e-voucher, it's right there on your phone. So it's much, much easier. And if you buy multiple, you know, you collect them all right there on your phone. So it's easy to always have them at your fingertips. You can go through them and say, well, where should we go to eat? I don't know. Let's look and see what e-vouchers we have. So it makes it much easier. And we are moving into that format for all of our Seize the Deals, because it's so much easier. You don't have to worry about losing the certificate and holding on to the certificate and sticking it somewhere where you forgot that you had it. No, you'll have it in one easy to access place. And it also makes it a lot easier too to be able to deliver it to you, because now you get it instantly instead of having to wait for it to come in the mail. So again, optimism for the future. I think we're going to have the best deal, the best year ever for Seize the Deal, and the easiest year ever for you to be able to achieve, to acquire and utilize those certificates. But that deal will go on sale tomorrow at 9 a.m. But of course, you can always go to seizethedeal.com, because we always have great deals there for you. Just remember, you may have to change the location in the upper left-hand corner to New Bedford. But right now you can get $50 in gift certificates to Friendly's in Fall River for $25. You can get $50 to the Brewhouse District in Fall River for $25. And of course, tomorrow, $20 to Pokemoto in Dartmouth for just $10. Right now, though, I'm going to take my first break of the morning. 508-996-0500. App chat and open line voicemails on the WBSM app.
I'm fully grown, and I know where it's at.
And welcome back in. We're going to be going into the news in a moment. When we come back on the other side of that, we can take your calls at 508-996-0500, your app chat messages, your open line voicemails on the WBSM app. And if you don't have the app already, what are you waiting for? It's super easy to download it. Just go to your app store and type in WBSM, or you can go to WBSM.com and click on the Listen tab and put your email address in on the app page, and it'll send it right to your phone. And then once you have it, you get all of our breaking news alerts, all of our stories and content, contests. You get access to our live audio stream and our podcasts. You can set your alarm for WBSM. You can get live traffic and weather, all of that and more. All thanks to our friends at South Coast Towing in New Bedford. And they're the ones that are always there for you, whether it be when you need a tow or whether it be when you need to access WBSM, because they make the app possible. All right, it is time now to go into the newsroom and get all the top stories of the day from Phil Devitt.
Wildfires devastate Southern California. Trump's Canada remarks, no laughing matter for one of that country's leaders. And Oscar contenders are coming into focus.
From the WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
Devastating wildfires are sweeping through Los Angeles, causing widespread destruction. At least five people have lost their lives. Over 1,000 homes and businesses have been reduced to ashes. Evacuation orders are in effect for a large portion of the city. Fire crews working tirelessly to contain the flames, but the situation remains critical. President-elect Donald Trump's comments that Canada should become the 51st state are no longer a joke and are meant to undermine America's closest ally. That's according to Canada's finance minister, Dominic LeBlanc. The country's point person for U.S.-Canada relations says Trump was smiling when he first made the comment during a dinner at Mar-a-Lago with Prime Minister Justin Trudeau in late November. But the joke is over, LeBlanc said. It's a way for him to sow confusion, to agitate people, to create chaos, knowing this will never happen. A 14-year-old student was arrested at Appalachian High School in Georgia this week after bringing a gun to school. And this comes just months after a deadly shooting at the same school left two teachers and two students dead. The student was arrested without incident, is facing multiple charges. The school district canceled classes as a precaution. And renewed concerns now about school safety, with parents and community members calling for increased security measures. Abortion rates have remained relatively stable despite abortion bans in many states. While the number of abortions has slightly increased overall, access has become more challenging, particularly for women in states with restrictive laws. Medication abortion has become more common, with telehealth prescriptions playing a significant role. But the method's now facing legal challenges, with some states seeking to restrict access to abortion pills. It wasn't just fact-checking that Meta scrapped from its platforms as it prepares for the second Trump administration. The social media giant has also loosened its rules around hate speech and abuse, again following the lead of Elon Musk's X, specifically when it comes to sexual orientation and gender identity, as well as immigration status. The changes are worrying advocates for vulnerable groups who say Meta's decision to scale back content moderation could lead to real-world harms. And Wicked soared at the Screen Actors Guild Awards announcements this week, landing five nominations, including Best Ensemble. Cynthia Erivo, Ariana Grande, and Jonathan Bailey also picked up individual nods. The SAG Awards, known for their Oscar predictive power, were announced on Wednesday. A Complete Unknown also scored big. That's the Bob Dylan biopic. Four nominations, including one for Timothée Chalamet, who stars as Dylan. Notable snubs include Angelina Jolie and Nicole Kidman. SAG Awards will be held on February 23rd and streamed live on Netflix.
WBSM Sports.
The Bruins are in Florida to play the Tampa Bay Lightning. Puck drops tonight at 7. And the Celtics home at the Garden to play the Sacramento Kings on Friday.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
Partly cloudy and windy today, a high of 31 degrees. Mostly sunny on Friday and a bit warmer, a high of 38. On Saturday, the clouds return and there's the possibility for some snow, a high of 33 degrees. On Sunday, sun shines back and a high of 36. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy, only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's news talk station, WBSM, and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
Back in 508-996-0500. Sorry, I'm coughing an extra large amount this morning. So just if you're following along with the Patriots coaching search after they fired Gerard Mayo on Sunday, like right after the game, the Patriots have now interviewed Mike Vrabel, who is believed by many to be the odds-on favorite. He was the head coach at Ohio. He was coach at Ohio State, and he was head coach of the Houston Texans and the Tennessee Titans. And now he seems to be the favorite for the Patriots job. The Patriots have also interviewed, as Phil told you yesterday, Tampa Bay Buccaneers offensive coordinator Byron Leftwich and former Houston Texans offensive coordinator Pep Hamilton. Although there's talk that the Patriots may be in violation of the Rooney Rule, which requires teams to interview minority candidates for vacant head coaching positions, because neither Byron Leftwich or Pep Hamilton are considered to be quote unquote serious head coaching candidates. So one of the things that the NFL keeps an eye on is whether or not when they interview these minority candidates, if they're actual serious if there's actual serious consideration for those people, or if it is more that they're just like, well, if we interview the black person that we know is inexperienced and isn't ready for the job, then we've satisfied the Rooney Rule without having to explain why we didn't hire that person. So the NFL is keeping an eye on that, and you know, we'll see what happens. And the last time the Patriots kind of skirted the Rooney Rule a little bit, because their odds-on favorite then to be the head coach was already a minority. They knew right away. We knew that Gerard Mayo was the heir apparent. There was no real question about who was going to take over. But now, where they'll most likely be hiring Mike Vrabel, they need to have serious consideration of a minority candidate as part of that process. And the NFL may feel that Pep Hamilton and Byron Leftwich are not serious candidates. So we'll see. The other news that came out, a couple of things yesterday that I found to be very, very interesting. One, we had the report from The Athletic, and Michael Rock wrote about it at WBSM.com, that one of the, there was a report that the Patriots players, that Gerard Mayo lost the players as early as the spring. That pretty much right from the beginning, he had lost some of those players. He had lost the locker room because the players felt like he was winging it, that he and the coaching staff didn't really have any serious vision or plan, and they were just flying by the seat of their pants on a week-to-week basis. And then the report came out from The Athletic that while they were on a flight, instead of sitting with the coaching staff, as a head coach does, and reviewing game film on the flight, which is pretty much standard operating procedure, Mayo would instead sit with the players and play cards with them. And that he was more concerned with having the players like him than with actually forming cohesive plans with the coaching staff about what to do about the team. Now, a lot of people are looking at that as a flaw on Gerard Mayo, but I also wonder if that wasn't part of an edict from the Crafts. Because part of the problem with Bill Belichick at the end of his time here in New England is that they felt like Bill had lost the team because his style didn't work with the younger generation of players that were coming in. And that without Tom Brady and the other veteran leaders that they had to push for the Patriot way, it doesn't really make sense to younger players. And so you had younger players that said, no, I don't. I want to be able to express myself. I want to be able to speak to the media. I want to be able to sign endorsement deals and be in commercials. I want to be able to use my platform to push my own social issues forward that I'm in support of or passionate about. And those are all things that under the Patriot way, quote unquote, were, you know, not something that young players were able to do. It was something that you had to earn the right to do. And so I think that you probably saw a big disconnect between the coaches and the players. So maybe the edict to Gerard Mayo was, we want somebody who's going to be more of a player's coach. And that usually doesn't work in the NFL. In fact, that's how they set up Pete Carroll to fail when he was here. You know, he was getting pumped and jacked instead of building a culture here. So I think you might, you know, if you're going to throw all the blame at Mayo for that, some of it might go to ownership as well, and maybe they wanted him to lean too far away from Belichick style. But anyway, the bottom line is Gerard Mayo's out. Somebody new will be in. It won't be Bill Belichick. However, the story came out yesterday that Tom Brady has reached out to Bill Belichick about possibly coaching the Las Vegas Raiders. And what a dynamic that would be. Now, the Raiders have said that Brady will be involved in their coaching search. And he reached out to Belichick, who is 15 wins, by the way, away from passing Don Shula for the most of any NFL head coach. And we know that that's a record and a piece of history that Bill Belichick wants. As much as he doesn't want to talk about it, you know that he wants that. And he's 15 wins away. And with a team like the Raiders, that could be 3 to 4 years before you get those wins. I would think you could get it within 3 years. And Belichick's not going to be able to coach in the NFL for much longer. Man's in his 70s. So does he take advantage of this opportunity? There are some experts out there who thought from the very beginning that Belichick is never going to coach a single college game. That taking the North Carolina job was just a way to get himself back into people's minds and to say, well, let's keep an eye on what he does there because he might be our guy. And I guess he has an out clause where if he leaves the team, if I remember correctly from what I read, if he leaves the team before June 1st, the school is owed $10 million. But if he leaves after June 1st, the school is owed a dollar. I think that's what it was that I saw. And I don't understand why that is. You think it'd be easier to leave now than it would be then, but I think what it is they want him there for the recruiting period. But he could easily pay that $10 million, or the Raiders would find a way to pay it if he wanted to be the coach of the Raiders. So everybody that's commenting on that story with, he already has a job, that doesn't mean anything. It does not mean anything. If the Raiders want him and he wants to be part of the Raiders, he'll be there. And he loves tradition. He loves history. I could see him definitely wanting to be part of that franchise. But what an interesting dynamic that'll be if Tom Brady now works for Bill Belichick. I'm sorry, if Bill Belichick works for Tom Brady instead of the other way around. And man, if they did that, if they pull that off and then they have success together, that would be quite the chapter for considering how much everybody wrote and talked about the breakdown between them toward the end. And it seems like they've made up for that. I think both men realize that's just what happens in football. And, you know, you might not get along when you have that working relationship, and doesn't mean you don't like each other as people, and doesn't mean you can't work together in the future. But it'll make for great stories during the game broadcast, that's for sure. 508-996-0500. I've got to take a break here. We'll be right back. That's a great classic music video, The Fix. One Thing Leads to Another. Back when, you know, MTV showed music videos. I always said I'm never going to be one of those, you know, those curmudgeon-y old men that says, well, back in my day, things were better. But, I mean, MTV certainly was. But what an interesting video that was, and the way that they started making videos like that. Because they didn't have a lot of money to spend. You know, by the time the 90s rolled around, they were spending upwards of, you know, even $10 million on some videos. You know, these music videos had budgets of movies and movie caliber directors and actors and stunt people and special effects. And back then they were, you know, working with flashlights and tinfoil to try to create these visuals. And that's why it's still great to go back and watch a lot of those. I love watching the MTV classic station. They have the 80s show and the 90s show and seeing some of those older videos. And you appreciate, wow, you know, they must have, you know, there was a time when they were innovative and then it became cheesy. But now you look back at them and you say, yeah, they really did a lot with just a little. And you know where else you can do a lot with just a little is at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. Why? Well, because they have great deals all the time at Stevie's. Great specials. And you should follow them on Instagram and Facebook because they put them up all the time. And I would say definitely follow them on Instagram even more than Facebook because that's where you're going to get everything first. You're going to get to see special pop-up events and tastings so that you can try it before you buy it. But of course, you can always try before you buy anything at Stevie's with the purple dot. And don't forget to join the Rack House Club. And if you are a member of the Rack House Club, your January bag is ready. But when you join the Rack House Club, not only do you get a bottle of whiskey or bourbon or that, you know, anything from that whiskey line that is worth at least the monthly cost of your membership, usually more, plus a few other things that they like to throw in there as well. But you also get 10% on all your whiskey and bourbon and scotch purchases. So you're getting the value for your membership and saving money overall. Plus, there's special events just for Rack House Club members as well. So find out more by going to Stevie's Wine and Spirits, 115 Huddleston Avenue in Fairhaven. Try something. Sign up for the Rack House Club, and I'll see you down there at some of those special events because I'm a member too. Again, Stevie's Wine and Spirits, 115 Huddleston Avenue in Fairhaven. And we're going to be going into the news in just a moment. When we come back on the other side of that, we can take more of your